change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello and welcome. This is the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. Very happy today to be speaking with David Nailman. David's a senior solution engineer for Salesforce. How are you, David?
I'm doing very well. It's great to be with you.
Excellent. You're in Denver.
I'm right outside of Denver, so about an hour north in Fort Collins.
Okay. Yeah, I did my grad work in Denver. I'm very fond of that city and need to get back there at some point. We're going to talk about a variety of things related to technology and nonprofits today. How do we get started?
Getting started, first thing I want to just make very clear that while I am a Salesforce employee, I do not speak officially for Salesforce. Just want to make that very clear. I have spent a very long time in the nonprofit sector. So first, I really got started by being an AmeriCorps volunteer, and then later a Peace Corps volunteer, and then did a lot of direct program work, some marketing, and then got into the technology side. So worked at a company called Blackbaud, and then moved over to Salesforce not later. And so today I'd love to just talk about some trends we're seeing in the nonprofit industry in terms of technology, sort of the need we have for CRMs and that single source of truth, and then maybe some overall kind of things that we're seeing pop up more and more in 2021. So yeah, happy to be here. And thanks for letting me talk to the audience.
Yeah, I'm glad we could do it. What do you see as things that nonprofits should be looking at for tech for 2021?
Well, I'm going to start at the extreme basics, and some people might actually roll their eyes when I say this, but I think the number one thing is I work with nonprofits that are sort of medium to large size. So organizations that are well over $1 million in fundraising, have staffs usually, much higher than 20 people. So it's sort of that mid-tier nonprofit that's doing pretty well. And I think the one thing that's surprising is how many folks are still not fully in the cloud. So we see some organizations who are still using servers. So I always like to put that out there as like number one thing, get out of the on-premise server-based technology space and really make sure that you're moving towards a fully cloud-based solutions.
But okay, here's my devil's advocate part. So I'll say, but David, when I have my own server, I can keep it in my building and keep an eye on it.
Oh, I get that. I love, it's the same thing with storing all your cash under your mattress, right? Like it's comforting, but God forbid there's any issue, let's say a fire or a flood. There goes all of your data and a lot of your organizational knowledge. So the cloud is secure. And I would say, make sure that you are working with a provider out there in the nonprofit space that is trusted and has not had security breaches or things like that. So big topic is security, but we would say move to the cloud is a good place to be.
Well, are you allowed to name names? And when you mention providers, are there any that come to mind?
Well, I mean, obviously, Salesforce, great option for that. But I would say, there's a lot of technology players in the space. And I think what's most important is figuring out who's the right company to partner with, because not all organizations are ready for, sort of a large technology implementation. There might be budget constraints. There might be technical know-how constraints. So there's different players that serve the market in at different levels and sort of different tiers. And I think, there's some folks who work with consultants, but Google's a pretty good consultant as well. So just do some searching and be able to find some providers that are going to be perfect for your organizational size.
Yeah. And not to do a shameless plug of my own here, but I do occasionally help nonprofits with finding providers for this purpose. I think it's still a question of fit. Not all providers are equal, but anyway, that's a whole topic for another episode, I think.
Totally. Right. So, obviously that's like number one, sort of like table stakes for 2021. I think, and I touched upon this earlier, is really just the idea of security and trust being hugely important. We have seen, and without bashing any other technology provider, we have seen there be some breaches this last year that have impacted a lot of customers. There's been some lawsuits. And what we want to make sure is that our data and the relationships with our donors are as strong as possible. And so just when you're doing that evaluation of technology providers, really important to see the track record in terms of security.
Is that just simple a matter of checking up on references? How do you do that?
Yeah. So there are, I always am like, best friend is Google here. If you simply are, you want to search the name of the vendor you're looking at, plus security. There's newspaper articles that will talk about some breaches and some challenges. And then, you know, ask the vendors, you know, ask them if they have a way to monitor their data centers. What are they doing in terms of encryption? Ask the questions and poke around prior to signing a contract would be my best bet.
What else? I mean, you know, obviously getting on the cloud is a big thing that nonprofits need to do to come up to speed in 2021. Are there any new things on the radar that nonprofits should be looking at?
Yeah, I think, well, obviously, you know, we want to talk a little bit about the need for remote solutions. That 2020 and into 2021 has taught us anything, it's how important it is to be able to deliver services in an online setting. So this goes from, you know, just not just like online fundraising, but online service delivery. So if you're doing your programs and people used to come into your office to get services and improve their lives, how are you doing that in a hybrid model going forward? Because some people are never going to go back to wanting to go into offices and they'll want to go digital first from here on out. So I think thinking about how you can deliver your services at scale and really that hybrid model is going to be a big push going forward. Same with the importance of data, right? And we've seen this, and this is not just a 2021 thing, but how important data is to be able to make decisions and to be able to, you know, figure out where to put more resources, what programs are working, and really be able to track outcomes of your mission. So those are some general ones. I'd say the things that get me most excited in terms of some other trends is really the crowdfunding space that we've seen that there's, if people are not taking a look at the research that's coming out of the Lilly School of Philanthropy at Indiana University, please do. But they just put out a report that talks about how crowdfunding is just growing exponentially. And over 2020, it got bigger and bigger. And that's because people love to give to people that they know, right? So if Mickey, if you're out there raising money for a cause and you share that with your friends and family, they're more likely to give because you did. So I think crowdfunding is just like something that sort of got really hot and then kind of faded away. But we've seen just the statistics are showing it's continuing to grow. And especially in times with crisis. So when the George Floyd incident happened, we saw 500,000 people make donations to that cause in the span of about 3 weeks. And so, you know, nonprofits looking to capitalize on hot topics going on in the world, crowdfunding is a really great way to do that.
Interesting. I didn't know that crowdfunding should still be on a nonprofit's radar. I guess it depends upon the mission and the cause and the event.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, but I think that research came out like last week and kind of blew my mind in terms of how many people are still giving money that way, because it had fallen off my radar, to be totally honest. And that research really kind of blew my mind. So the other side of this, I would say that's really cool. I think another topic that I think we're seeing come up more in the current day and age is this idea of gaming and streamers raising money for causes. So we kind of think of this as like gaming for good. And it's a huge untapped potential, I think, for nonprofits to find popular gamers who are out there. And for people who don't know, video gamers are now streaming and recording themselves playing video games, and they amass huge audiences. And these gamers have been utilizing platforms like Tiltify and Twitch's platform to actually raise money for causes, and have been raising millions of dollars. And I think it's just a space that nonprofits haven't explored fully. So I'd say that's a pretty exciting one as well.
It sort of boggles the mind how popular the whole gaming world is in terms of the audience for that kind of content. And maybe I'm just an old fogey at this point, but I can't imagine how much patience I would have for sitting back and watching someone else play a game that I can't join in on.
You know, it's not what I do on my weekend either, but the numbers don't lie. And yeah. There's an audience, and this audience is incredibly generous. So I'd say check that out. The other thing I forgot to mention is, and this is a simple one, right? Again, sort of like the big, are you serious? How would you not be doing this? But you'd be surprised how many organizations are not really going all in is recurring donor programs. Yes. It is the simplest way to be able to increase revenue on a sort of low effort basis. And you'd be shocked when you say, oh yeah, we have a lot of one-time donors. How many recurring donors do you have? And that number is insanely low when I talk to organizations. So if you're not going all in on recurring donors, I mean, look at how people pay for content now, right? It's Netflix. It's a monthly charge that comes out. People are used to the model, but I would say double down on recurring donor programs.
Yeah, I agree. I want to go back to something you mentioned a second ago about better use of data and, you know, getting data to help with forecasting and stuff like that. Is taking a medium-sized nonprofit who may not have a big data agenda and taking them to a place where they have one, is that a hard thing to do? Does it require much investment? How do you get a nonprofit that never really paid attention to that kind of hard number crunching? How do you get them to do that?
Oof, big topic. I think there's got to be a strategy that's typically coming from above, right? It's nice that you will find pockets in every organization that are like, we are data driven. We want to be data driven. We want to do more with data. But I'd say the organizations that are most effective at it, it is coming from an executive level and it's a mandate. And what has to happen in order to get there is a very clear strategy of the why, right? Like, why are we doing this? What is this going to allow us to do? Will this help us raise more money? Will this help us serve more people? So I think getting people excited about the why is really important. From there, you have to determine like your KPIs, right? Like, what are you aiming towards? What are you driving towards? What are you ultimately trying to do? And then put in place systems that allow for easy data collection. Because if you push this down to staff and it becomes another 20 hours of their week of work and admin headaches, it's not going to get done. So, or it's going to get done and the quality of the data is not going to be very good. So there's a lot that goes into it. But if you are not gearing up your organization to be more data driven in 2021, you might not be around in 2031 or 2026, right? Like, you kind of got to get this thing going because funders care about it, right? Like, how are you going to show impact? It's a big topic. How do you do it? Well, ultimately, you need data to be able to do it. And if you are not driving towards making decisions based on good data, showing outcomes and impacts based on good data, then what are you really doing out there? So I think it's tough. I wouldn't say it's like, you know, here's what I always try to tell people, especially when they're looking at Salesforce. It's the tool isn't going to do it for you, right? Like, right. Salesforce can help, right? It certainly can be a great tool for you, but it isn't going to be the magic bullet that gets it done. You're going to have to put in place some systems and some leadership that pushes towards this. And then Salesforce can help you, or any sort of tool can help you, you know, visualize that data and get it out to the people who need it.
And just, you know, not to plug Salesforce or anything else, but the overall cost, the initial investment to becoming more, you know, to be able to collect data more efficiently is not really that big, is it?
No. I mean, the thing is, quite frankly, I'll tell my the executives that I work with at my company to put on their earmuffs right now or go get a cup of coffee. But the truth is that, you know, if you are collecting data, if you're collecting data anywhere, you're doing a good job, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yes, inside of a CRM, so you have a single source of truth, so you can, you know, break down the data silos and not have 10 different point solutions and cobble together some answer. Yes, like, ultimately the North Star is having a CRM that captures all that data. But even if you are very low tech, just having the data and having a strategy behind it is ultimately more important. And I think about Jack Dorsey over at Twitter, right? Jack Dorsey put together a spreadsheet on Google Docs that's showing how he's giving away tens of millions of dollars. And it's a public Google Doc that anyone can see. It's fully transparent and it's tracking the data that he cares about. Now, there's no outcomes on there, but my point is, Twitter certainly could stand to buy an insane, you know, grants management package and solution. They're doing it on a Google Doc. So, you know, get started is the point and then grow into the correct tool set.
No, that's excellent. I like the idea that get started is the point. That may end up being the title of this episode.
There you go.
Yeah. So among the notes that you sent me, and you've already touched on it, why your nonprofit needs a single source of truth. Is it simply because of the data agenda, or is there more than one reason why that CRM solution is so critical?
Yeah. This is honestly where I spend 60 hours a week, right? Is on this idea of, you know, do you need a CRM? Why is a CRM important? And then you can get into like, well, which CRM is best for you? But I think at a very high level, it starts out about expectations. Your donors and your clients have expectations of your nonprofit to be working well. So do your board members and your executives. And what does everybody sort of expect? It's like on demand. It's something that kind of looks a little bit like Amazon. It's, you know, at your fingertips, and it's easy, right? People have expectations of technology and services being easy and not being burdensome for either the donor or the client. And so that's important. And so I think, like, when you take, let's say, you know, there's all these different functions that we have. So fundraising, applying for grants, you have volunteers, you have services that you're trying to provide to clients. You could have 4, 5, or 6 different solutions, you know, 30 Excel spreadsheets. And don't forget about, you know, Bob down at the end of the hallway, who's got an access database that he just created, right? And so the problem is you now have many, many, many sources or silos of data. And typically those systems are not talking to each other, which gives a very fragmented experience for your staff. It gives fragmented experience again for your donors and your clients. And you're never going to be able to truly get what we call that single source of truth, like the real answer, because, oh, by the way, that access database is holding a whole bunch of data you didn't even know was there. So right. Why is this so important? Well, it's going to burn out your staff if you don't do it. It's going to give your supporters and your clients a subpar experience. And I think with a CRM, again, I'm sort of going CRM agnostic here. If you have a single platform that allows you to manage your business and breaks down silos, that this is going to allow you to understand how you're doing, where you should invest, what your program, what programs are working, which aren't. And without this, I think you're really, you know, doing a disservice to your staff and the people that you serve and the supporters who care about your mission. So yeah. It's central. I think if you were going to draw the architecture of a organization's sort of technology stack, the CRM needs to be at the center, right? Like that needs to be at the center. And then you figure out all the other pieces that either integrate it with it, or, you know, in the case of some other some CRM solutions that you can kind of add on as you grow with it in time.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort of an unrelated tangent, but I think that the industry on the whole has done itself a disservice by calling it a CRM or even a DRM. I think it should be an SRM. And my rationale there is people think, it's a DRM, donor relationship management, or, you know, uh-huh. Since my brain can't wrap itself around acronyms right now, but
I get it.
But right. So, but you know, the nonprofit touches more than just its donors, and it's more than just its customers. And I think it should be an SRM, a stakeholder relationship management, which encompasses every human that the nonprofit touches.
I like that. Yeah.
That to me would lend itself to a little more central focus if we take that label out away from it. In any case, that's my own little soapbox for the day. Let's spend a few more minutes before we wrap the episode. Let's spend a few more minutes talking about what do you see are as emerging trends in digital fundraising?
Yeah. So I think beyond, you know, the Twitch streaming and the continuation of crowdfunding, I think the biggest trends that we're seeing is the need to make it easy. Right. I think what I've seen for so long is that, and this is not a knock on nonprofit professionals. I was a nonprofit professional way before I was in technology. And these organizations and staffs are sometimes cash strapped, under-resourced, and undervalued in general, right? In terms of like what they do for society and the amount of money that comes in, right? You can start a company that sells sugary soda and make billions of dollars. And you know, a nonprofit is providing homes for the homeless, and they're scraping along to kind of be able to survive. And so I think they're undervalued. And I guess the only reason I bring that up is the fact that in order to be able to compete, because there is truly competition out there for donor dollars and attention and you know, space in people's heart for giving, you've got to make it easy, and you've got to tell your story, and you have to be vocal about it without walking that line of being annoying about it, right? Like mm-hmm. There is a fine line. But I think what I'm ultimately driving for is not for nonprofits to become like business, but for nonprofits to sort of hone in on exactly what their mission is, to be able to really focus that in and not try to be everything to everyone, and ultimately provide a more streamlined and efficient experience for people who care, right? The people who raise their hand and say, yes, I care about your organization, whether that be liking your page on Facebook or signing up for a newsletter or making a $5 donation. When that moment of magic happens with those people, what are you going to do? And I think it's really a hodgepodge right now. And you see some organizations who, you know, somebody raises their hand in whatever way that is, and boom, they're off and running. It's a, you know, it's a welcome series and it's an automated marketing journey. And, you know, they're getting three different touch points from people. And, you know, there's this whole plan in place. And for other organizations, you know, you can make a $5 donation and you maybe get that year in, here's your letter, or that automated email saying thank you for your donation, and you never hear from them again. And it's a moment lost. And so I would say, you know, the biggest thing that I think that nonprofits are going to have to work on in this next, you know, 2 to 3, 5 years in order to survive is doing a better job of moving people through a journey. And that journey is expanding what they care about, understanding what they care about, matching your messaging back to what their interests are, and making it human and real, and finding ways to do that at scale. Because if you try to do that with every $5 donor and you're having some poor intern call them, and you know that's not going to work in the long term. So I think it's really about defining processes that are going to allow you to be successful and scale and grow into the future.
I know we could easily turn each of these things into its own hour-long episode, but I'm afraid we're running out of time. If a listener wanted to be in touch with you, how would you suggest they ask you any questions they may have?
Yeah, that's thank you for that. So, you know, you can find me if you simply search David Nadelman Nonprofit. I have a YouTube channel and a podcast called the Nadelman Nonprofit News. It's sort of a weekly or biweekly show where we talk about the news and stories, do some interviews on there as well. So, you know, YouTube, Google David Nadelman Nonprofit, you'll find me, and always happy to connect outside of anything sort of, you know, Salesforce related. Really happy to just talk to folks in the space who are kind of trying to, you know, wrap their heads around it and move to that next level. So really happy to help and truly appreciative to be on the Nonprofit Snapcast show. And thank you for what you're doing out there in the sector as well, Mickey.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.